The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
How's the volume? Is it okay? Seems good? Okay. So often in our practice, in our mindfulness practice, in our meditation practice, when we're exploring challenges, difficulties that come up, which they always do, it's really, you're not alone when these things happen. We're often exploring them in the moment as they come up, and we're looking not so much to connect with our thoughts about them, but more to connect in our bodies, connect in the present moment experience of these challenges as they arise. We explore how it affects our bodies, how our emotions are connected, maybe a variety of emotions coming up in a particular pattern. But really what we often emphasize is let go of the thoughts and explore the present moment experience. And yet in our daily lives, when things are happening more quickly, this kind of practice where we almost seclude ourselves, we turn inwards when we do this kind of exploration. This kind of practice when something arises in the midst of our daily lives, it's not so practical. We're in a meeting with somebody and something arises, something comes up, a reactivity, an anxiety. We don't like say to the meeting, oh, stop, wait a minute, let me turn and look at my body and pay attention to my feelings. We don't have time for that in our daily lives. And often we can just simply do really basic mindfulness, if that. You know, we can just simply notice, wow, anger is present. It hurts, or frustration is happening and there's constriction. It's something very basic. And things are happening so fast that we often don't have time to reflect much on what maybe triggered it or how to respond skillfully based on teachings or Dharma understandings that we've learned. And so this kind of exploration in our daily lives, maybe it could be helpful to use some other tools, to explore things with some additional tools. And so I'd like to explore that, one of those tools this evening, which uses thoughts. It uses thoughts to support us in looking at our experience. The Buddha actually encouraged us to use thought skillfully. A lot in the teachings that have been passed down to us. It is a kind of a regular thing that he encouraged us to use thought skillfully. It's not something that only happens occasionally in the teachings. It's kind of all over the place. Bringing in wisdom reflections to help support balance in the mind. And to his son, he encouraged his son to use reflection. The very first teaching he offered to his son was a teaching about reflection, using thoughts, using kind of the way our minds work when we... And the teaching he offered to his son was, before you do something, reflect on how it will affect others and reflect on how it will affect yourself. If it will create a kind of affliction, he said, then don't do it. And so this kind of reflective practice is using our capacity to think and also our natural kind of, something that happens when we kind of can model or think about what's going to happen. Is that we can kind of imagine how others might respond, how they might feel. our empathetic sense lets us kind of know not only real time while we're engaging with people, how they're feeling. If we are available for it, we can tune in to that. I think in the science these days, they're called mirror neurons, that there's a kind of a natural attunement that we have with people. When somebody has a feeling, if we're kind of attuned to the experience in the room with them, we may have a sense of what they're feeling. So there's this empathetic sense that we have, this capacity to be empathetic with others. And this capacity to be empathetic also works when we think about things. So we can reflect, we can bring up thoughts in our mind and about something we may choose to do. And in that thinking process, we may have a sense of how somebody might respond. Kind of an empathetic sense of, that might be hard for them to hear, or maybe I should be careful in how I say that, for instance, might be a reflection that we could use. And so the Buddha encouraged his son to reflect before he acted, looking at whether it would cause kind of affliction. He encouraged him to reflect while he was acting, so that can be more dynamic in the moment. To see, how is this person responding to what's coming out of my mouth? How is this person responding to what's happening? How am I responding? So while we are acting, there is this possibility at times to check in, to use our mindfulness to notice how are we responding, to notice how are others responding. And yet, as I said a few minutes ago, often when things are happening very quickly, this is a challenge. We can cultivate mindfulness that will become more continuous, that will become more capable of kind of going along for the ride for us in our daily lives, being able to be aware of what's happening and know how we are with it at the same time. My teacher in Burma, Sayadaw Utejaniya, he has a phrase for this kind of awareness. He emphasizes a very broad practice, a very broad awareness, not a focused, detailed kind of awareness, although it happens sometimes in this practice that he teaches. But he emphasizes a kind of just taking in what's happening in the most broad way and knowing how we are. And he calls... In our daily lives, he emphasizes what he calls 50-50 mindfulness. 50% of our attention on the content of what we're doing, what we're saying, what's going on in the world. 50% of the attention on just the kind of the everydayness of what's going on. And 50% of the attention on how we are with that. And so this is kind of... noticing that there's a relationship between what's happening and how we are. At first, it may feel a little bit like a back and forth, like we notice something happening out there, and then we come inside and check in. How is this? How am I in here? We can play with this kind of thing, kind of slow down a little bit while reading. You might play with this kind of awareness, for instance, while checking in to the news. Read a headline. How am I with that headline? Just do little bits of it. And this gives you a little bit of you may have to go back and forth a little bit, but it begins to give you a sense of the possibility of recognizing, wow, everything that comes up in the world has an effect. Words have an effect. When I read words, the content of those words, the meaning of those words lands in a certain way and has an effect. And so can we know that? Can we track that? Can we be curious about that? When we're alone by ourselves and reading, we can take a little more time with exploring that, slow down the information as it's coming in. And cultivate this capacity, this 50-50 mindfulness. It gets stronger such that we don't have to do the back and forth, where it's more that as you read something or encounter something, there's already the knowing of how you are with it. And so this can strengthen in our daily life, in our moment-to-moment kind of living our lives. We can strengthen a capacity to be both aware of what's happening and how we are with it at the same time. And yet, over time, I mean, that is something that takes time. And we often will be experiencing things going through our lives and having reactions, not so aware of them, just reacting in our habitual ways out of our kind of habits and patterns, our conditioning. And we're not so aware. And so the Buddha also encouraged his son to reflect after he acted. Did that have an effect? How was that? And so this is actually the area that I'd like to explore a little bit more, because this seems to be the terrain we're in a lot, that we go through our day, things happen, we may have little bits of mindfulness through the day, but we get ourselves into situations, we get caught by things, we say things we regret, we do things that are out of habit and not particularly mindful. And then later that evening, we are thinking back over the day saying, oh, wow, that wasn't so helpful. And so how can we work with that? We might think, I should have been mindful there. Well, we weren't mindful there. So what might we be able to do? Well, one of the tools that we can use is to use reflection to think about the situation and see how it affects you now. So this is something that we can do very consciously. If you have a situation where something has happened during the day, where there's been a struggle or a reactivity in your own heart and mind, or somebody reacted that you, it was unexpected how they responded, then later in the day you might use a reflective practice. So this practice uses the power of thought to evoke the feelings that were happening at the time of the experience. This is very natural. It's kind of like that's similar to that empathetic reaction or response that I talked about before. When we bring things into our mind kind of models it and kind of plays through how we might feel, how the other person might feel. We don't even have to try to do this so much. It kind of can come naturally. And when we do this about something that has happened, I think we all kind of are familiar with this. You know, when we bring up in our minds some challenging or difficult thing that happened, often what we find is that the feelings that were so challenging, what happened there, it kind of arises again now. And so if we'd had an argument with a friend earlier in the day, and it comes back into our mind, often it comes back in unbidden. Sometimes that's what happens in meditation, right? We're sitting here quietly and then this thought arises in our mind about this argument that we had with our friend. It's not like we're trying to remember it, it just happens. And the emotions arise about that argument. We feel that. Some of the same body sensations happen. And so this is partly because of the power of thoughts. Thoughts are very powerful in our minds. When thoughts enter our minds, they have an effect on us. That description of reading a few words of a newspaper headline. I see this a lot these days. I read 3 or 4 words of a newspaper headline, and I feel a lot in my system. So it's nothing that's really happened. The words have gone into the mind. The mind has thought about them and constructed some meaning and is responding to that meaning. This is This is a very natural process. If I were to, I won't take the time to do this right now because I want to do a guided meditation on this reflective practice with you in a moment. But if I were to drop a couple of words into the room, just let you settle for a minute or two and drop a couple of words into the room, most of you would have a shift of feeling as I dropped those words into the room. Even a single word that has no connection to any story or anything can have this kind of emotional effect on us. And so, we are living that all the time, but not consciously. And so when thoughts come into our mind unbidden about situations from the past, often we're kind of swept away by our reaction again. If we remember that conversation, that argument with the friend, and it just came into our minds because we saw something that reminded us of our friend, this kind of associative nature of our minds. We saw something that reminded us of our friend, and so that thought about having the argument with the friend came up, and whew, we're swept away by that, those feelings again, by the anger, by the frustration, by the wishing that they hadn't said that thing and how we can make sure to get back at them or whatever our minds do with that. And so we can be swept away by that when these things come in unbidden. But we can do something different if we bring these thoughts into the mind consciously, prepared to be mindful of what arises with those thoughts. And that's what this reflective practice does. It encourages us. And I learned this form of reflective practice, I learned this kind of reflective practice from Ajahn Amaro, a monk in the Theravada tradition who used to live up at Abhayagiri in Northern California, and he would come down and visit here occasionally. And on one of the times he visited, he talked about this kind of reflective practice. And he described it in a very simple way. He said, if you want to think about something mindfully, he said, let your mind settle, then bring that thing into your mind. And it's kind of like letting the mind settle is kind of like letting a pool of water settle. And then he said, and then take whatever it is you want to reflect on after the mind has settled a little bit, and then drop it into that settled mind, like dropping a stone into a pool of water that is settled, that is calm on the surface. When you drop that stone into the pool of water, there'll be ripples. That's natural. That's the consequences of dropping the stone into the pool of water, that the ripples happen. And very similarly, when the mind has settled a little bit, consciously dropping something into the mind will create the cause and effect relationship. It will create some ripples. And he said, and then just watch the ripples. See what happens when you drop that thing into your mind. So this particular tool that he offered is broadly useful. I don't remember what he was encouraging us to use it for, but I've used it for exploring Dharma topics, like what is the benefit of ethics? I drop that into my mind. And I've used it to explore making decisions, dropping in one decision into my mind. How does the mind respond to that? Dropping the other side in, how does the mind respond to that? But one of the most powerful things I've seen about this particular kind of practice is this reflecting back on something that happened, reflecting back on an event that I didn't have time to be mindful of in the midst of the quickness of my day, but coming home and thinking about it, taking the time to like settle the mind down and say, okay, it's worth reflecting on this. One teacher, Annie Nugent, a teacher I teach with most years in Massachusetts, at the three-month course in Massachusetts, has offered four tools for reflection. And the first one, as she says, the four R's. Use the four R's. Relax, review, like review the day, review back on what's happened, reflect, and then maybe resolve on how you'd like to move forward. And so this relaxation is an important piece to begin in a place or a time where you have some space to be a little curious about this. Not a time or a place where you're rushed, but some time where you have, you know, maybe 15 minutes. I actually don't encourage people to do this for a really long time. You know, maybe you know, let yourself settle for 3 or 4 minutes, then let yourself reflect on the topic for, you know, 10, 12 minutes, something like that. So that it's relatively short. That's actually, we'll do it probably for shorter than that tonight, and I think you'll see there's a value in even doing it for a short time. So relaxing, and then reviewing or bringing up the experience into the mind, whatever it is that you kind of want to go back on. Review it, kind of draw it into the mind, create it almost as an image perhaps. And while you're doing that, then reflect, how is this now? What's happening now? This is looking at the ripples of creating that, drawing that into the mind. Doing that, we start to see, it basically gives us a little bit of the space that we didn't have in the midst of the quickness of the day to be aware of what was going on. It's almost like we can slow it down a little bit. We can look at it from different perspectives. Maybe explore it a little bit from the emotional side. Maybe a little bit from the side of what was I thinking? What were the beliefs that were happening right there? Or maybe exploring it a little bit from the perspective of the other person. What might have been going on for them? So we can take some time with reflecting, thinking about this, and feeling how it is at the same time. This is that 50-50. We're bringing the content into our minds, aware of the content, holding it, looking at it from different perspectives, and aware of how we are with it. So one of the benefits of this that I've seen is that it begins to help me to learn how to be present for those things that happen so quickly in life. Those flashpoints that we react to as somebody says something that just flashes for us. You know, it's like we don't even quite know how or why it happens. It just flashes and we don't see it so clearly. When we can slow it down and explore it in this more reflective way, sometimes we might see a little bit of something we didn't see at the time. We might understand something about our minds. We might understand something about how it connected not just to this situation, but to something from our history, and learn a little bit of something about ourselves in the process. And maybe we also gain some capacity in being able to be with the things that, the kind of emotions, the kind of kind of things that happen so fast in real time in our daily lives. We may develop some capacity for being able to learn how to be with them in this reflective process, to learn the skills for meeting some of those flashpoints. And what I've seen is over time, as I do this, this kind of practice over time, is that the kind of attunement, the mind begins to get attuned to those emotional triggers and has some familiarity with being mindful of them, doing it in this reflective practice, so that there may be some more capacity to actually notice those happening when they happen in the midst of daily life. We it's like developing the skill, strengthening the skill of being with those very strong, potent, reactive forces in our mind when we have the space and time to work with them. And that creates a little bit more possibility for us to to be with them, to learn how to be with them as they're actually going on. So relaxing, reviewing the situation, and reflect is the kind of, how is it affecting me? And then resolve might be, there might be something that comes up of, oh, this is how I'd like to respond to this situation. Or it might simply be kind of more of a sense of, I'd like to be able to be more mindful when this kind of situation happens. Something about reflecting might give us a little bit, in the reflection process, we might see some of the warning signs. We might see some of the things that are kind of triggering or heading us in the direction of reactivity. And so we might learn some of those in the reflection and then be able to also apply those in our daily lives to start to see, oh, this is heading into dangerous terrain. Let me be careful. So that might be the way resolve works sometimes, is that we begin to resolve, or we can check in to say, well, when that situation happens, I'd like to be more present, more available to know that that's happening. So I'd like to try this with you, and I invite you to choose something that happened for you in the last day or maybe week, where there was some kind of a charge. It doesn't have to be the biggest charge, but just something that happened for you. So I'll give you a few moments to think back on the day or week and see what you'd like to choose. And now I invite you to let go of that. Just put it aside for now. And we'll begin this process by just settling a little bit, just allowing our bodies to relax, coming into your physical body, connecting to the sitting posture. And maybe the breath. And seeing if there can be some relaxation of your body. I sometimes like to use the image of a snow globe when I first settle into a meditation. Often I'm coming from something where the mind has been active or the body has been busy. And then sitting down, it's kind of like there's a swirl of energy, much like when you pick up a snow globe and swirl it around. The glitter in the snow globe swirls with the energy. And yet here we are. You know, maybe just think about your body and your mind being like you're setting a snow globe down and allowing that energy to just settle. Not trying to force it to settle. It will naturally settle. Just with the watching, just with the being, with the swirls and the energy, the ebbs and the flows of how you are in this moment. Now I'd like to invite you to bring your scenario, your situation into your mind. Let yourself call it up, maybe as an image, imagining you're in that situation, remembering some details, where you were, who you were with, if there was other people there, what was happening, what you were doing or saying, what others were doing or saying, again, if others are involved. Just let yourself create, remember the situation. And while you're doing that, while you're connecting to that, see if you can also recognize how it's affecting you to remember it. This is not, you're not trying to stop the emotional response here. This is part of what we're exploring, is as we bring these thoughts into the mind, emotions, reactions, physical experience may come in. And so while you're connecting to that memory, feel how it is. How does it affect your body right now? How does it affect your mind, your moods, your emotions? Staying connected to the memory reflecting on how you are in this moment with that situation, being mindful of these responses right now. See if you can bring an interest to this exploration. It's an opportunity to learn something about yourself. No need to have self-judgment. This is just what happened, and you're recalling it, feeling it again, in order to learn something. Is there some aspect of the experience you might be able to learn from? Remembering to keep track of how you are in this moment. How might what you've learned through your mindfulness practice have supported you in this situation? How might mindfulness have supported you, or kindness or compassion? How might they have supported you? Remembering that these qualities of kindness and compassion are equally for ourselves as well as others. Another reflection that can be useful at times is to kind of remember that this situation that you're remembering, the event, came out of causes and conditions. What are some of the causes and conditions that were at play? And how does it feel now to reflect on that aspect? Another question that can be interesting to explore is, do the emotions or feelings you're having seem familiar, related to something from the past, not just from this particular situation? And how does that affect you now? If there's a connection to history. Now letting go of the reflection of the situation, you might take a minute or so to just think about if there's any questions you might have. That would support your understanding of this situation from a Dharma perspective. So are any of you willing to share something that you noticed or learned, maybe something that was surprising or something new that you saw in that process?
I just was overwhelmed with absolute confusion, like complete confusion.
Was that what the situation was about?
The situation, I brought the situation to mind, and I watched the ripples, and the ripples, I was bewildered. Like this thing came over me of just...
Not understanding.
And I said, Max said, Erdstein had said, at some point saying, when there's a feeling like that, ask what it needs or ask it to reveal something. And I tried being that, but it was like I got hot and absolute confusion. Like, I don't know.
Did the situation result in some reactivity on your part, or don't have to give the details.
It is a pattern with somebody in my life. Okay, my mom. All right, then going into a particular moment, interacting with her. I could feel it. I was there in it. And then the confusion just was there everywhere. Like, it was like 360-degree confusion.
And so that wasn't your experience in the situation?
No, okay. No, uh-huh. No. That's what the ripples. God, I'm getting hot.
Yeah,
thinking of, okay.
Yeah. I mean, this, so there, some of it could be that there was a little confusion about what to do in the reflection. But it also may be that there is more confusion in that relationship that might be worth being curious about. So this is something new that you've seen here potentially, and so in situations with your mom, you might just kind of hold the possibility that there's some confusion underground that may be motivating responses or reactions. I don't know that that's what's happening, but it was, since it was so strong, I think it may be connected to the experience and not just to the exercise so much. So,
I think so.
So yeah, I mean, just kind of some curiosity about that in your life. It's like, it's sometimes these things will drop us to a level, seeing things that are going on in those situations that we had no idea were going on. And so it's possible that some of that is there. And if that happens, then you may be able to then use a reflection on confusion. You know, it's like, okay, so what is this telling me? You know, you said, what is this need? Another question that can be useful there is, what's being believed? What's being believed? Or what is the mind looking for? That might be another one. What's the mind looking for? Something like that.
It felt like it was trying to find maybe the exit. No, but it was trying to find something in the confusion. What is it looking for? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Anyone else? Yeah. Oh, several of you.
Hi. I was just going to say that I notice, for myself anyway, reflection comes naturally, constantly, and it seems like every time I think of something that happened in the past, each different time I think about it, I see it differently.
Yes. And that's an important thing to recognize, too, actually, that it's like each time it comes up, we might get something different about it. It's like we bring it up and we might be looking at it from just a slightly different angle. So we might learn something different about ourselves or different about the situation. So it can be useful to look at it more than once. Actually, sometimes when I do this reflective practice, I'll do the same reflection over multiple days and just get different things, different little hits out of it. Yeah.
Things change over time.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. And Kumi, and this is the last
one. Maybe
I'll
try that too. I go to a certain point and then I just don't know beyond that. So I have a friend who is a massage therapist, and she's been giving massage. Well, she came smelling like smoke, and so I told her, and she got very she felt hurt. So I said, well, would you like to, come again? She said, well, if I could stand, if it's okay with her smoking, and it's not okay. So I guess I just have to end the relationship.
Mm-hmm. So is that what you came to in the reflection?
Yeah,
it's not okay. She wants to do this and it's not okay with you?
That she's a good person. She's skilled.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And but that part, it's not acceptable.
I think it's worth understanding for ourselves what our own kind of limits are, what our boundaries are, and as opposed to just letting everybody do. I mean, it's fine to have some boundaries for ourselves. That's okay to have those boundaries. So it's time to stop. I asked you at the end to reflect on or think about a question that might kind of be something to think about from a Dharma perspective with respect to the situation. That question may be useful for you to reflect on. How might that be You could also bring it to a teacher. I'd hope to have a little more time for those questions to pop in, but it's time to stop. But you can also reflect on that question yourself. There's a lot that can happen. It's like, so a question like that could then be used later. It's like, well, what does that question mean? Or how might that question be relevant here? We can actually use, those questions can be used as further reflective, what do you call it? Grist for the reflections. So thank you for your attention.